me breathing? Wow. That's going to be annoying. Good morning. It's great to be together again. Finally together, celebrating and worshiping God. It seems so difficult lately, where there's so many distractions going around us, that we have a hard time focusing on God. Look at all the distractions around us. Even the fact that we weren't able to meet together for the past 2 weeks. What do you do when things just seem out of control? How can you maintain and grow in your faith when there's so much going on around us? Good place to start is prayer. So, again, let's take a minute for prayer. Dear Lord, we just ask you to be with us this morning. Speak through me your word. Draw us as a congregation close to you. Help us to feel your presence, your guidance, your instruction for us. And help us all to grow closer to you through it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been reflecting lately on a lot of what God's been doing in my life and my experiences. Kind of following up on Brent's message from before, about the idea that we need to recognize what God's been doing in our lives. And I want to start today with an example of one of those situations, but it's something that all of us could relate to, because it's something amazing that happened for our church. I'm the finance chair, have been for a while at our church, and almost exactly 10 years ago, in September of 2010, I remember quite well, I received a call from our bookkeeper saying, I need some help trying to figure out how to pay the bills. Our bills are more than what's in the bank account. That was stress. We worked out a plan and found a way that we could pay the bills, working out the timing of when things were due. But when we were done with the whole plan, we ended up with $24 in the bank account for the church. I was really on edge at that point, not knowing what to do, where to go. But through a lot of prayer, communication with the congregation, we were able to, by May of the following year, get back on strong financial footing. That was amazing. I thought that was great. But since that time, we were able to buy a purchase lot, a house, so we have space for an expansion. And then we actually completed the expansion. We built the community center. A whole bunch of other renovations that happened. In total, we spent about $1.9 million. As part of that, we had to take out a loan for $1.3 million. So that means, in a period of 8 years, we went from not our barely being able to meet our bills to putting $600,000 down towards expansion. In just 8 years. Not only that, in the 1.5 years since we took out that loan, we have been able to pay down $200,000 of the principal in just 1.5 years. That's God in work. That's God making what seems impossible, possible. Not only that, think of what happened this year. In March, everything had to shut down. We couldn't meet together for 3 months at least. As a finance guy, again, that's stress. Are we going to be able to keep up the payments? Well, we were able to pay our bills, to keep all the employees working, even the Little Ants employees, without tuition coming in, through some extra government assistance. We are now, after the shutdown period, stronger financially than when we were before we started the shutdown. That's God at work, working through each of you. God is good. He makes a difference. He was able to make what seemed impossible for us financially very possible. It happened, and we're living proof. Sometimes we're faced with situations that just seem impossible. It's so hard to see a way out. Lately, you can see a lot of that through what's happening around us in our nation. The pandemic concerns, presidential elections, political arguments, the racial tensions, protests and violence that's happening. Our nation seems to be spinning out of control. On top of anything that you may be experiencing personally, there's a lot that we're dealing with individually that may seem impossible. How do you deal with so much going on and being faced with so many difficult situations? For many people, including myself, I tend to just try and work on one thing at a time. I tick off a list. Problem is, I'm only handling one thing at a time, and I'm getting hit on multiple fronts. And I'm trusting on my own wisdom, decisions, direction to try and figure it out. I think I make good choices, but talking to someone else, they may think that's the worst choice ever. I'm trying to work it out myself. It just seems so impossible to handle. So much. But Jesus has something to say about the impossible. Matthew 19, verses 23 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is with only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Matthew 17:20. He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." We need to hear that over and over again. With God, all things are possible. Let me illustrate with an example. Made a little loop of paper. Suppose I tell you I can put my whole body through this. Believe me? It ain't going anywhere. But when I try to do something that seems to make no sense at all, like cut this paper in half, something unexpected seems to happen. I just don't have fast enough. I just cut it in half. I didn't get two circles. I got one. That I can fit through. What seems impossible is possible. It's an example of how God can do things when the direction that we're giving doesn't make sense. He can make that impossible happen. So, what's God saying to us so that we can get back on track and figure out how to deal with all of these impossible situations? How can we find out how we can do what He wants done and get things to work the way He wants them to work? Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what God said to Solomon when Solomon dedicated the temple to God, the one that he had just built, the designs that David had created for him. It was a time when the whole country and Solomon himself were close to God. They wanted what he wanted. God blessed Israel with wealth and prosperity. He blessed Solomon with wisdom. But God knew the future. He knew that Israel and Solomon himself would turn from God. He wanted them to know a path back. He wanted them to know that eventually they would face times that seemed impossible to see a way out of. And he provided an answer before the problem arose. People at that time would not realize how to find the answers, how to fix the problems themselves. Sound familiar? We're in situations like that now. God outlines 4 key steps in this passage for us to follow in order for God to intervene and make a difference. Those steps are themes that are repeated over and over again throughout Scripture on ways that we can get closer to God. Let's take a closer look at each of those 4 steps. What are they? Humble yourself. Pray. Seek God. Turn from your wicked ways. It starts with humility. It's really about recognizing that you're of lower importance than others. In this case, lower importance than God. You put God on the pedestal. We're underneath. It's also recognizing that we don't deserve what we have. A lot of times we think that we earned it. It's us. It's God. Doesn't matter how hard you work, if God's not part of it, it's not happening. In today's society, we take credit so quickly for anything good that happens that when something bad happens, or we do something wrong, we're quick to blame someone else or to justify why that thing that we did that was wrong was really something that had to be done. It's all a focus on me rather than on God. We have to remember that everything that we have, even if we worked hard for it, is because God gave us the ability to do that. That everything is from God. We receive so much more than we deserve. 2 Samuel 22:28 says, "You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." 2 Chronicles 34:27. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and torn your clothes and wept before me. I have also heard you, declares the Lord. God listens to the people who are humble. It's important as a first step to get us communicating with God. Again, that's the first step. Our second step, prayer. Prayer is our connection with God. Do you ever feel disconnected from God? Many times the first place to look at is our prayer life. Do you see prayer as a conversation with God or as a routine activity? Or do you do it at all? In our prayers, are we just listing the people that we know and the things that we think we can't handle? God really wants to know what you're concerned about, how you're feeling, what you're looking forward to, what you're worried about. Not just a list of what we want. It's a relationship, a conversation. We should follow the example of prayer that Jesus himself is. Matthew 6:5-8. As he's describing, as he's getting ready to provide an example of prayer to his disciples, he talks about how prayer should be done. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have already received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You notice here, God already knows your heart. He's waiting for you to say it. He wants that connection that prayer can provide. That deep relationship. A real heart-to-heart conversation is where we see that God is in control and can provide the answers for all our needs. The third step for us, seek God. Do we care about what God thinks in every situation? Too many times we only seek God whenever we have a need so big we don't see an answer ourselves. I know for me, I tend to just go for a list with a lot of times. And that list, a check mark of what I see or what I think I need to deal with God. Why not put God in a box? That makes him small. That's not what God is. It tends to focus us on God being the last resort. What happened to God being the first resort? He should be the first place we go for any question or concern. Do you want his direction, his guidance, his answer for you before you go to anybody else? Are we going to check with our help books, our friends, our wise counselors first? Where are you going to get the best direction? It's God. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. This was Jesus' direction for overcoming worry. We all want so much and worry about so many things. But Jesus says the answer is seeking him first. You may still have to face those things that you worry about, but God's going to walk you through it. The fourth step that we're going to look at is to turn from wickedness. Are we stuck in sin ourselves? Is there an area in your life where you need to make things right with God? A lot of times we turn to the Ten Commandments and go down the list. Yep, good on those. I'm following, right? It really starts to hit home when we look at a list like what God has outlined a little more in detail. From Romans, I tend to go there as a double check on myself to see if I'm really turning from what God detests. Romans 1, 29 to 32. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, contentiousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree, and those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Go through that list sometime as a double check for yourself. Yeah, you may be fine on a lot of them, but some of them hit home. These are things God detests. If we want to turn from wickedness, we need to recognize it in our own lives and then turn away from it. Admit it. This can be a hard first step. And that word repent is turn away from. Are we willing to stop doing those things that God hates and turn completely back to him? Following through on those four steps can seem overwhelming. They sound like four easy steps, but there's a lot to them. It's all about getting your heart right with God and letting him have full control over our lives. That way we can open our eyes to see God's work and how he can work out whatever seems impossible to us. All of that sounds great, but does it work? Well, God gives us an example where it does. Daniel chapter 9. Just read the beginning of the prayer that Daniel had. Chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. Then I turned my face to God, seeking him by prayer and with pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. Daniel started with humility. Wearing sackcloth and ashes don't get a lot of people's attention with saying, you look great. Fasting gets his focus on God rather than meeting his own personal needs. In other words, Samuel was humble. He started off with humility. The whole chapter is his prayer. He was praying. The prayer in this chapter was not a focus on himself, but on recognizing who God was, what he wants, and desperately clinging to him for answers. It was a prayer from the heart, not a list of problems. In verse 4, it shows that Daniel was seeking God. He recognized God as the great and awesome God, the God of love and the love that God has for his people. Daniel was also showing that he was turning from wicked ways. Verse 5 recognizes the sin. Just read the rest of the chapter. He lists numerous sins that Israel has been committing. He was going through specifics. Can we get that kind of specific? In this example, Daniel followed those four key steps that were outlined for us when God was talking to Solomon. At that time, when Daniel was praying, Israel was in captivity. Things looked desperate. They weren't a nation anymore. They were just a captured people. They were in desperate need for God to make a difference. What makes this example powerful is that 1 year after this prayer, Nehemiah approached the king and was granted permission to rebuild Jerusalem. 1 year after that. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, a walled city within a captive land. That's impossible. Not for God. Today, we may be facing a lot of things that may seem impossible. We have to remember, nothing is impossible with God. So let's get back to that advice that we've seen from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. When we do that, we'll start to see that God makes the impossible possible. Because God is a God of the possible. Let's pray. Lord, you are so wonderful and awesome to us. You've provided these examples that show your power, your love for us as a people. And yet, so many times, we're selfish and turn from you in so many ways. Forgive us. Open up our hearts to you. Help us to see you first. To seek you first. Forgive our sins. Cleanse our hearts. And heal our land, ourselves, and the situations that we're dealing with. We lay it all in your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.